Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster, a quarterly booklet that is sent out free of charge to anyone who asks. You can write to them at chapel@mountzion.org, and they will send to you every quarter a booklet filled with articles by some of the great preachers of all time about a particular subject. The subject this time is self-examination. We've already heard from Charles Spurgeon. We're going to hear from him again. Does Christ Dwell in You is the name of this message. Charles Spurgeon, as you know, lived in the 1800s, from 1834 to 1892. He was a Baptist preacher from England. He uses 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you be reprobates." May the Spirit of the living God, says Charles Spurgeon, drive the sword in up to its very hilt this morning, that now the power of God may be felt in every heart, searching and trying the reins. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves first, because it is a matter of the very highest importance. Small tradesmen may take coppers, that is, pennies, over the counter without much examination. But when it comes to gold, they'll ring it well, for they could not afford to lose a sovereign out of their little gains. A sovereign is a gold coin of England. And if it comes to a 5-pound note, there's an anxious holding it up to the window to see if the watermark be there and whether all be correct. For it might be ruin to the man if he lost a sum to him so large. Ah, but merchants and tradesmen, if you be deceived in the matter of your own souls, you are deceived indeed. Look well to the title deeds of your estate. Look well to your life policies and to all the business that you do. But remember, all the gold and silver you have are but as the rack and scum of the furnace compared with the matter now in hand. It is your soul, your own soul, your never-dying soul. Will you risk that? In times of panic, men will scarcely trust their fellows. I would to God there was a panic this day so that no man would trust himself. You may trust your fellows far more safely than you may trust yourselves. Will you think, men and brethren, what your soul is? The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment, Luke 12:23. But the soul is as much more to be accounted of than the body, as the body is more important than the raiment or clothes. Here are my clothes. Let me be robbed of my garments. If my body be secure, what signifies it? And as for my body, what is it, after all, but the rag that enshrines and covers my soul? Let that be sick, let that become like a worn-out vesture. I can afford to lose my body, but, oh God, I cannot afford to have my soul cast into hell. What a frightful hazard is that which you and I are running if we do not examine ourselves. It's an everlasting hazard. It's a hazard of heaven or of hell, of God's eternal favor or of his everlasting curse. Well might the apostle say, examine yourselves. Again, examine yourselves, because if you make a mistake, you can never rectify it, except in this world. A bankrupt and may have lost a fortune once, and yet may make another. But make bankruptcy, spiritual bankruptcy, in this life, you'll never have an opportunity to trade for heaven again. A great general may lose one battle, but with skill and courage, he may retrieve his honor by winning another. But if you get defeated in the battle of this life, and you can no more gird on your armor, you are defeated forever. The day is lost. There's no hope of your being able to gain it again, or so much as to make the attempt. Now or never, man, remember that. Thy soul's eternal state hangs on the turn of today. Loiter thy time away, waste thine abilities, take thy religion at second hand of thy priest or thy minister or thy friend. And in the next world thou shalt everlastingly rue the error, but thou shalt have no hope of amending it. Examine yourself, because many have been mistaken. That's a matter I will undertake to affirm upon my own authority, certain that each one of you can confirm it by your own observation. How many in this world think themselves to be godly when they are not? You have in the circle of your own friends persons making a profession, of whom you often stand in astonishment and wonder how they dare to do it. Friend, if others have been mistaken, may not you be? If some here and there fall into an error, may not you also do the same? Are you better than they? No, in no wise. You may be mistaken also. I think I see the rocks on which many souls have been lost, the rocks of presumption. The siren song of self-confidence entices you on to those rocks this morning. Stay, mariner, stay. I beseech you, let yon bleached bones keep you back. Many have been lost. Many are lost now, and are waiting at this present hour their everlasting ruin. And their loss is to be traced to nothing more than this, that they never examined themselves, whether they were in the faith. Here let me appeal to each person now present. Do not tell me that you are an old church member. I'm glad to hear it, but still I beseech you, examine yourself. For a man may be a professor of religion 30 or 40 years, and yet there may come a trial day when his religion shall snap after all and prove to be a rotten bough of the forest. Tell me not that you're a deacon. That you may be, and yet you may be damnably deceived. Aye, and whisper not to me that you're a minister. My brethren in the ministry, we may lay aside our cassocks to wear belts of flame in hell. We may go from our pulpit having preached to others when we never knew ourselves, and have to join the everlasting wailings of souls that we have helped to delude. May God save us from such a doom as that, but let no man fold his arms and say, I need not examine myself. For there is not a man here or anywhere who has not good cause to test and try himself today. Furthermore, examine yourselves, because God will examine you. In the hand of God there is the scale and the balance. You shall not be taken into heaven for what you profess to be, but you shall be weighed, every one of you, put into the scale. What a moment will that be, with me and with you, when we are in God's great scale? Surely, were it not for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and for a certainty that we shall be clothed in his righteousness at last, we might all tremble at the thought of ever being there, lest we should have to come out of the scale with this verdict from the book of Daniel, Tekel, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, you are weighed in the balances and are found wanting. God will not take his gold and silver by appearance, but every vessel must be purified in the fire. We must each one of us pass through a most searching test and scrutiny. Beloved, if our heart condemns us, how much more shall God condemn us? If we are afraid to examine ourselves, what cause have we to tremble at the thought of the dread searching of God? Some of you feel that you're condemned this very day by a poor creature like me. Well, how much more then shall you be condemned when God, in thunder robed, shall summon you and all your fellows to the last infallible judgment. Oh, may God help us now to examine ourselves. I have yet one more reason to give. Examine yourselves, my dear friends, Because if you are in doubt now, the speediest way to get rid of your doubts and fears is by self-examination. I believe that many persons are always doubting their eternal condition because they do not examine themselves. Self-examination is the safest cure for one half the doubts and fears that vex God's people. Look at the captain over yonder. He's in his ship. He says to his sailors, "You must sail very warily and carefully. Be on your watch. For to tell you the truth, I don't know where I am. I don't know exactly my latitude and longitude, and there may be rocks very close ahead, and we may soon have the ship broken up." He goes down into the cabin. He searches the chart. He takes an inspection of the heavens. He comes up again, and he says, "Hoist every sail, and go along as merrily as you please. I have discovered where we are. Now, the water is deep, and there's a wide sea room. There's no need for you to be in any trouble. Searching has satisfied me." Well, how happy will it be with you if after having searched yourself, you can say, "I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him." Why then will you go along merrily and joyfully because the search has had a good result? Why then you will. And what if it should have a bad result? Better that you should find it out now than find it out too late. One of the prayers I often pray and desire to pray as long as I live is this: "Lord, let me know the worst of my case. If I've been living in a false comfort, Lord, rend it away. Let me know just what I am and where I am. And rather let me think too harshly of my condition before you than think too securely and so be ruined by presumption." Oh, may that be a prayer of each heart and be heard in heaven. And now, how are you to search yourselves? I am to try and help you, though it must be very briefly. First, if you would examine yourselves, begin with your public life. Are you dishonest? Can you thieve? Can you swear? Are you given to drunkenness, uncleanness, blasphemy, taking God's name in vain, violation of his holy day? Make short work with yourself. There will be no need to go into any further tests. He that does these things has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. You are reprobate. The wrath of God abides on you. Your state is fearful. You are accursed now, and unless you repent, you will be accursed forever. And yet, Christian, despite your many sins, can you say, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, but I seek to live a righteous, godly, and sober life in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation"? Remember, professor, by thy works thou shalt be judged at last. Thy works cannot save thee, but they can prove that thou art saved. Or if they be evil works, they can prove that thou art not saved at all. And here, I must say, every one of us has good cause to tremble, for our outward acts are not what we would have them to be. Let us go to our houses and fall upon our face and cry again, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And let us seek for more grace, that henceforth our lives may be more consistent and more in accordance with the Spirit of Christ. Again, another set of tests, private tests. How about your private life? Do you live without prayer, without searching the Scriptures? Do you live without thoughts of God? Can you live as a habitual stranger to the Most High, having no love to him and no fear of him? If so, I can make short work of the matter. You are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. But if you are right at heart, you'll be able to say, "I could not live without prayer. I have to weep over my prayers, but still I should weep 10 times more if I did not pray. I do love God's word. Yes, it is my meditation all the day. I love his people. I love his house. I can say that my hands are often lifted up towards him. And when my heart is busy with this world's affairs, it is often going up to his throne. A good sign, Christian, a good sign for you. If you can go through this test, you may hope that all is well. But go a little deeper. Have you ever wept over your lost condition? Have you ever bemoaned your lost estate before God? Have you ever tried to save yourself and found it a failure? Have you been driven to rely simply, wholly, and entirely on Christ? If so, then you have passed the test well enough. And have you now faith in Christ, a faith that makes you love him, a faith that enables you to trust him in the darkest hour? Can you say of a truth that you have a secret affection toward the Most High, that you love his Son, that your desire is after his ways, that you feel the influence of the divine Spirit and seek every day to experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit more and more? Lastly, can you say that Jesus Christ is in you? You know, if not, you are a reprobate. Sharp though that word be, you are a reprobate. But if Jesus Christ be in your heart, though your heart sometimes be so dark that you can scarcely tell he is there, yet you are accepted in the Beloved, and you may rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, 1 Peter 1:8. That's from a sermon by Charles Spurgeon delivered on Lord's Day morning, October 10, 1858, at the Music Hall, Royal Surrey Gardens. You say, I wish I could have been there. You were. Just now, you were there. You were there and convicted by the same words that those thousands of people sitting there were convicted. What will you do with this? That's what's important. What will you do? I hope that you look around the website for other encouraging words from the Lord. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.